Record. We're recording. All right, go ahead.
Action. Hey, I'm Andy Paulson. I'm 51 years old. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I am chatting with some of my coworkers from OHSU, where we're nurses in a cardiac unit. And this is Sebastian.
Hey, I'm Sebastian Ostrovsky. I am 31, which makes me think that's the age Andy was around when he started nursing. So another inspiration to stay on the unit for 20 years. And I'm in Portland, Oregon. And yeah, these are my coworkers.
And I'm Leah Schilling. I'm also 31, Portland, Oregon, planet Earth. Yeah, chit-chatting with two colleagues. Well, I feel like we just had a great conversation. We'll keep it going. Sebastian, you've been nursing for what, a year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
What are some of your biggest takeaways from nursing so far?
I was trying to think, so you told me this question ahead of time. And so I was trying to think of like, I don't know, something really altruistic or really profound, but I think I'm going to go the other way and be kind of self-centered. I think like the first year is just a lot of like showing to yourself that you can do the job and do the work and not have patients code blueing left and right on your shift. I remember I had this feeling when I was like a kid, I got a little lizard for a pet. And I remember like, if I could just keep it alive for one night, then I know like I can keep something alive and it's going to be okay. And it's sort of an analogous feeling with nursing, like, okay, like day by day you get through the shift and the house isn't on fire and you're like, okay, sweet. And then once you have that foundation of confidence, you can start to incorporate your own, I don't know, your own little like little personal unique aspects of you, what you think would be beneficial to both the patients and your coworkers and the unit as a whole. And being able to have that opportunity, it's been exciting. One of the things I really enjoy. So I think the biggest takeaway is that I can do this job, and I think that I have something to offer nurses and patients. And that's really, to use a nursing word, very empowering.
Yeah. I have a follow-up question. What did you do before you were a nurse, Sebastian?
So I was a CNA and first did an assisted living for a little over a year. And then I worked as a CNA in the hospital. It's a float in a smaller rural hospital near my hometown. And then worked in the emergency room as a tech for like a year and then came to OHSU for school.
So you did, you've always been in healthcare.
Yes. For like, I think since like 2018, 2017, something like that. Yeah.
And then where was your hometown?
It's up in Northern Washington on the peninsula, the Olympic Peninsula. Squim, it's cool, called. Yeah. People know of Port Angeles from the Twilight series. So that's your landmark.
Oh, that's where I recognize you from. You were the wolf guy.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I've been trying to keep stay under the radar.
Sorry.
Thanks for calling me out to the world.
Can you edit that out?
Squim kid.
So I'm going to have a follow-up question. Or I'm going to ask the next question. So Andy, I brought up this idea of like something unique that I like to do for patients. So what's something unconventional that you find extremely useful in your practice with patients or nurses or whatever that isn't taught in nursing school or isn't something common that people learn?
We were talking about this a little bit earlier. I don't know what a typical nurse is, but I don't really consider myself to be like, I know how to do stuff like pass the meds and roughly what they do and stuff. But my perspective has always been to try to join my patient on their journey as opposed to my own journey. So I, like, when I go in, I always get to head level. I don't stand at the end of the bed. I'll take a knee. My knees are all effed up a bit, but like, I always get down, get next to them, try to figure out what this experience is like for them. I feel like I'm going into their dorm room or their apartment when I go in there, and I try to not assimilate, but I always ask where they're from. It's like, I just asked where you were from. Like, and then I try to, if they're like a little bit country, I try to be a little bit country. If they're like a little bit, if they're like old school, I'll try to be a little bit old school. I'll try to, like, I don't know, become their advocate. But so what's unconventional? I consider myself not to be on the healthcare team, but I consider myself to be like a translator, or I wrote this down, like a Sherpa for this journey, or like an expatriate that is somebody that is also doesn't belong in the hospital, but happen to know what to expect. I've been doing this for a little while. So trying to communicate what the doctors are trying to do, or what the team is trying to do, or what this disease process is doing to them. And then on the other end, try to understand what the experience is like, and then try to communicate that to the team. Because I think what I've always wanted to do is make the hospital less foreign place for people. So try to keep a little bit of the outside world, whatever their outside world is like, bring that in, try to make it less frightening and less scary, and whatever, by whatever means necessary. And even if that means sometimes not breaking the rules, but trying to really sympathize with, like, can't have ketchup, awful, rather than like, you know, ketchup has quite a bit of sodium. It's more like, you know, yeah, like, I don't know how you're going to do this. This is terrible. So I try never to undermine my, but I got no problem complaining with the patients and sympathizing with them, and even being like, yeah, sucks. Does that answer the question? I don't know if it does.
No, absolutely. And I'm sure you get a lot of like positive feedback from patients for like behaving the way you do. I'm sure they love, you know, someone who isn't just like cold, stilted, and by the book, but someone who like recognizes them as people and, you know, relates to how, can we swear? We probably can't swear. How lousy it is to be in the hospital.
I mean, sometimes it's not helpful, and like, that's the challenge of it. You know, they not everybody wants a buddy, you know, and so like, try to recognize that too. And like, I'll say, if I be the dick, then I will definitely do that. It's not my favorite, but I will. And sometimes I'll thank you.
Yeah.
Andy, can you think of a time where it was really challenging, like a patient situation? Because I feel like you build rapport with folks that struggle with kind of behavioral things normally. You build rapport with them really well. Like, what's a time that stands out that it just wasn't working?
What's tough for me, or what pushes my buttons, is when somebody's, you know, lying and trying to pull a fast one. And, you know, like, I don't have patience for that, because I feel like we're all in it together. And if they're, and you know, it's like suds people always. That's my biggest challenge, is like, when people aren't being honest, I don't know how to work with that, because, you know, I like to do what I can, but if they're going to take more than they're asking for, that's challenging to me. So a specific one, I have a hard time when people take advantage of my willingness to not break the rules, but my willingness to stretch it, to say, okay, well, this is what we've got left. I'm trying to think of a specific one, but like when they take off for like 4 hours, you know, and then like I'll cover for an hour and then two and then three and come back. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm just like everybody else. I don't like to get robbed.
Yeah. I mean,
how about you, Leah?
As yeah. in things that push my buttons or challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. So, situation. My first question is, did you always want to be a nurse, or is this, how did you pick this profession?
I did not always want to be a nurse. I was pretty non-traditional how I got here. I was in healthcare or medicine in general, sports medicine, and then I was a scribe for a bit. And I was in medical sales before I figured out nursing, even though I have tons of friends who are nurses. But I think it took being in a job that just didn't align with my values and having competing priorities. I was such a bad salesperson. I was like, actually, our product is not right. You should probably go with the competitor's product. It's better for the patient. So anyways, yeah, nursing kind of hit me in the face because, I mean, that's what nursing is. Like you have, we do manage a ton of competing priorities in a day and of countless critical decisions, but we have one primary job. We always have a rudder, and that's, okay, what's best for this patient? Even if it's not like clinically related. Do you remember when we were talking about, or I was telling you about the patient I saw out in the community and it kind of shook me on New Year's?
Yeah.
And this was, yeah, someone who struggled with mental health issues. And I remember taking care of him. It was super challenging because he wasn't able to engage in care because we weren't treating his mental health stuff. And on the surface, if you judge his behaviors, like, oh man, this guy doesn't want care, so we'll discharge you to the streets and here's a tent, which totally sucks. But it's, I mean, like you were talking about before, you control the controllables. I mean, just yeah. The best nursing thing that we could do for him was make sure he knew how to set up his tent. And I remember setting up his tent in the room with him, and it actually turned into such a sweet story because we set it up, he knew how to do it. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, well, we're sending him out with something. At least he has a shelter and he can set it up. And then he got inside of it and he he goes, it's my meditation chamber. And I thought, this is perfect. He loves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a roundabout way of answering that question.
That is such a challenging story, because then the rest of the story is when you saw him, his tent was gone, right?
Yeah, he didn't have his tent. And I'm not surprised, because I don't think he had the capacity to care for himself. And those are the things that keep me up at night is, well, did we do right by somebody? And I don't know if we did. I'm sure there were areas we could have improved upon, but you know, we can advocate as much as possible. It's not always frustrating.
But yeah, like that's like taking responsibility for stuff that's outside of your control. I mean, it's like, you know, you're working at a sandwich shop and somebody needs their car fixed. Like,
we can't fix this car. I know exactly.
We don't have those tools. Yeah. But then like taking responsibility for that or like being sad about that is exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the part, I mean, 2 years in that I think I'm realizing to really help people, we've got to have some sort of boundary, emotional boundaries. And I'm wondering, like, Sebastian, what have you figured out about how to set those boundaries so far, a year in?
Yeah, I think I kind of, I ran headfirst into that problem actually before nursing when I was a CNA at assisted living, because you're seeing the same people day after day after day after day. One of the things, and I'll come back to this, one of the things I love about working in the hospital in acute care, maybe it's, I mean, on the face of it, it seems kind of like a negative thing to say, but that I don't, like, for most patients, I don't have to see them for more than 1 week. And I think that really, really helps with boundary setting and not getting too invested and not burning out. I think, you know, you do your best for them. You know, your relationship together has a very short timeline. And I think that's helpful for keeping your priorities straight and just your head straight. I think, like, working with the same, I mean, let's face it, we all know it, that, like, rehab facilities, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities aren't, you know, locations of joy and love and happiness and fulfillment. They're generally pretty bleak, dark, depressing places where people feel abandoned and are surrounded by strangers and suffering from their chronic illnesses. And so it's a, can be a very depressing place. And I think people who have been there for any stretch of time are going to cling on to anyone who brings positivity into their room. And so as a new fresh CNA, I was like, all right, I'm gonna, like, fix all these people, I'm gonna be all their best friends, I'm gonna be the person that brings positivity to their rooms. Yeah. And it's impossible. And ultimately what you learn is you have to kind of titrate your empathy, which seems so weird as, like, someone going into healthcare. So you're like, I want to give myself fully. But you can't, like, a single person will swallow you whole, not to mention patient after patient after patient after patient after patient. So it's like, all right, you have to ask yourself, how much can I give of myself to people? I mean, you do to some degree have to build up a coarseness and build up that, like, callus on your soul, else you just won't make it, I think.
I have something to say about that, Sebastian. Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's, it's tricky. Picture yourself as, like,
hopefully we didn't lose him.
Yeah, he's frozen.
His thought was too profound. While we're waiting for his return, Leah, what have you realized?
What have I realized?
With the same question.
With the boundaries?
With the boundaries.
Yeah, that, I mean, to really help people, you can't go down there with them. So you can bear witness to their experience and still support them. Way better than if you were to take on their experience as your own.
You are. All right. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you were frozen for like a minute.
Yeah, okay. That was all the best stuff. So, like, you know, write that down. No, so what I was gonna say is, think of yourself as a light that's shining. So you don't have to dim yourself, but you also can't be expected to give any more than is already there. So, like, this black hole of a vacuum, I don't know. I guess I've been doing it for long enough now that I don't hold back, but I also don't, I just am, you know? And so I try to be flexible and ready so that when stuff happens, I can say what I think about it if that's appropriate, or maybe people don't care, or sometimes it's literally just witnessing it, just being there to see what's happening to them, but not with the expectation that I can fix it at all. Like, they can just not be alone for the time that I'm in there. Like, but then I leave, like, you know, I'm a train, and I'll come in, and while I'm in the station, they can have it, but then I leave the station, and then I come home, and I again, it's sort of just the same light, although it's hard because, you know, I'm not working for my family in a way that I am working for my patients. And so when I get home, sometimes my light is dimmer because I'm trying to recharge it. But I guess, I don't know, just hearing you say that, I totally understand. But like, as you get more confidence, you'll realize that you've got sort of the one speed, and some stuff you're really good at and some stuff you aren't good at, and you cannot expect yourself to be good at something that you're not good at, which isn't to say that you don't try to improve, but like, again, you're just like, you know, the Sebastian is here, the Lasix is here, the Lasix does what the Lasix does, and it's wonderful, but the Lasix does not, you know, do anything else. So I don't know, that would be my, and that's what's, like you said, is awesome about acute care, is they come in, we do what we do, it's pretty much always the same, and then when we're done, they go and it's back on them again. God, it's got to be hard in those long-term cares to, like, you know, I imagine people, it's like, you know, a drowning man rescue. You go out to try to get them while they're drowning, and they'll just pull you under, you know, because you're all like, nobody's touching the floor.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. I'm going to take us from this bleak place and ask you, Leah. So Leah and I haven't worked too much together, but I feel like every time I talk with you, you just exude humility. So I'm going to ask you, what's something about, you know, in the context of nursing, something you do that you're very proud of?
Oh, snap. Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that means a lot coming from you, Sebastian. Thanks. What was the question?
What's something you think you do exceptionally well?
Oh, gosh.
Because I'm sure every other nurse can name like 20 things.
Yeah, yeah. I got stuff I would say to that.
Take a nurse and ask them to list things that they do well is actually a hard thing. I feel like we're always taking stock of what we could be doing better. I put a lot of value in trying to be the same person in my personal life as professionally, minus a few crass jokes that you can't say at work. But, so I guess just trying to connect with not just our patients, but our people we work with, like you, Andy. I mean, even at shift change, we work in a really inhumane environment, I feel like. And so if you can inject some humanness in it and just, I don't know, when you go into a room, sit down and talk with the person that you're taking care of, not about their squeaky heart, but whatever they like to do when they're not stuck in the hospital, that's a good place to jump off of. And then also with each other, we work in a really difficult environment. So I like to try to make sure people feel seen. I don't know if I do that well, but I mean, that's my intention behind my interactions throughout the day.
I think you do that very well.
Thanks. That's how I get a hold of people's social security numbers and sell their information online.
And then the 3 digits on the back of their credit card, that's the hardest one to get.
Yes. That's how I afford this beautiful home.
All those coffee mugs.
Yeah. Well, Sebastian, you asked a good question of Andy earlier about unconventional things that you try to do for a patient, or your kind of your brand, if you will. What do you think yours is?
I think I thought it was unconventional, but talking with you guys, it seems like something we all share, and maybe all nurses do, is just the witnessing, seeing people as people, kind of. I feel like such a big part of being sick and being in the hospital is anxieties from like the well put together person who's here for a scheduled surgery to the person who has like lifetime anxiety, depression, history of drug use. I think like there's always that sense of like, I'm in an alien place with these like, with limited decorations besides like anatomy of the heart, so I can stare at it and like remember all the things that are wrong with my heart, and just strangers flowing in, being woken up at 5 a.m. to be poked with a heparin shot. It's just like kind of a nasty, nasty it's a place.
Factory.
It's, yeah. It can feel like a factory. So I think, I don't know. I think what I like about myself is I don't feel like I'm very judgmental of anyone, even the manipulative person who, you know, I feel like I feel pretty good at seeing people and helping ease their anxieties. And I don't know if the way I go about it is very unconventional. I think one of the first things I learned, and Andy mentioned at the beginning, was like getting to the eye level. That's like a golden ticket most of the time.
Yeah, we're tall guys. It's like easy to not do.
Yeah, I think like if I was to like tell a beginning nurse like one nurse hack, it's like get to a patient's eye level when you talk with them. And it's both excellent for them and then excellent for you to see them as, as a human and not a patient. I don't think that very satisfyingly answers your question, but that's all I got.
Oh, can I say something that I think is special about both of you guys?
Yeah, and then me too. I have a follow-up thought too.
Yeah. So, well, Sebastian, I love your pace. You emit a calmness that, and your voice, and just the way that I can tell you're thinking just feels so solid and so, really in control and high quality. And I love that about you so much. That's what I think of as your brand, is just like, here comes somebody that is just gonna take care of some business here. And Leah, I see you, and I see both of you as like soup, not like as medical people, but as just people that are here to help. Your energy is like you're like a fighter, like never gonna quit. And I think that comes off of to all of your patients, and obviously to your coworkers too. Both of you, you're awesome to work with. And I just wanted to say that because we're thinking about what we're good at. Those are the things that I think you guys are really good at.
Thank you, man. It means a lot coming from you. Yeah.
Definitely. Thanks, Andy. Yeah. And we were talking about the things that you don't get taught in nursing school. And I think, Sebastian, what it sounds like you are getting at, and what they don't teach you in school, but you have to offer your coworkers and your patients, is you, I think you're especially good at, and Andy too, judging people not on their behaviors, but their intentions. And that's what keeps this huge juggernaut of a hospital system going. And it keeps people there to receive care. And that's pretty unique. I don't think that everyone can offer that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to join in on this like compliment party. Andy, again, I feel like it sucks that I can't wait. So I just put in my bid to get on day shift. So hopefully it's coming, and then I finally get to work with you guys. And so I feel like, I don't have much experience with working with either of you. But that being said, it's funny. I remember going in with, there was a patient who wanted to be called by like Mr. something. And Andy, I had given the handoff to Andy, and I don't give handoff to Andy a whole lot, but just kind of coming into the room, Andy, I saw his get on the knee move, which I hadn't seen before. And it's just like, I don't know. There's such a, you kind of fill up the room with this warm energy that I think, I don't know, again, kind of, I think because I value it so much, it's so clear to me with people who bring that vibe in. And I, you know, on top of it, it's kind of a tangent I was going to try and weave in at some point, but I think what's huge in this field is having role models, other nurses. And I've said this explicitly to you, Leah, you're like an inspiration for me to the type of nurse I want to be. And Andy, you're another one. And just kind of like, all right, these are the people I need to keep my eyes on and try and emulate.
Thanks
about both of you.
We all need to get some knee pads so that we can cover our knees.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to something kind of darker.
Plus we only got 10 minutes left. Probably 10 minutes nine left. Now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get really dark. So let's see, Andy, 20 years or so of nursing. What's a story or experience that really stuck with you that to this day you still think about?
I got a couple. One thing I remember from early on when we first started doing VADs, they were huge. They were like the size of a washing machine. I don't know if they still show pictures of those, but I used to wake up in the middle of the night and think about all the patients that were on those machines. And like, I could like, they made a bunch of noise and just like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning here and in my house. And then I'm like thinking about the patients who are sitting there on those things, not sure if they're going to keep working. That has always sort of haunted me. I don't know if you've ever seen, I made a piece of art. It's in the break room above the computer that everybody sits at when they're eating lunch and charts on.
You made
and
that?
It's called Man on a VAD. And it's anyways, that's how I think of those guys. Just like desperate. So I don't know. That's like one of the first things that I wake up and think about my patients at night. But one of the most interesting things that I remember happening is I was doing compressions. I love to do compressions. That's like a nice blue collar job to do. You're right in the middle of the mix of things. You don't have to make a lot of decisions. You just do them. But I was doing compressions. And when I would do the compressions, the lady, she'd like wake up and she'd like start hitting me. And then I'd like stop. And then she's like, please start doing compressions again. And then she'd like reach for me, you know, and then stop. And it was just like, you could see the perfusion bringing her, did she die? But bring her back to life. And then that was wild. All the codes haunt me too.
Yeah.
One thing that I do whenever, I don't do this anymore, but I used to, whenever I was involved in a code in any way, I would always go to the cafeteria and get one of their cream pies and then just like sit and eat it and like, you know, usually like cry about just how hard it was. But that the codes are always incredible experiences.
What other rituals do you have? I don't know, something about just like the aesthetic of that, like the contrast of this code and this, you know, awful thing happening, and then you in the cafeteria eating your cream pie. I really like that kind of contrast. What other rituals do you have, either around codes or otherwise?
You know, I think that might be my only one. And then just in general, as a charge nurse, if somebody's having a rapid response or a code, I always make sure I'm there. Always. I don't want to be at the desk. Stubbs can do that. Like, just because, like, again, there's something about the hospital that is so lonely for the patients and even for the nurses and for when things are happening. I feel like we're a big part of the job is just being a companion and being another person in what's really tough space. So I guess I don't like being alone when, or like, you know, for postmortem care, I always have two people in there just in case. So I don't know if those are rituals or not. Yeah. And then the other thing is I actually don't do too much prep work because it makes me anxious. So I try to instead be loose and stretched when I go into the room and ready for what's coming rather than what I'm going to expect, which seems sort of backwards, but that's, you know, since you've been doing it for a while, you kind of know what to expect. So if you see something that you don't expect, then you know you have to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Leah, do you have any rituals?
I wish I had tried cream pie before.
We don't even have them anymore. Right. They were great. They were like these Oreo things.
Oh man, things that changed. Sounds good. I think we've talked about music, the three of us, totally. I try to just get all these experiences out in those goofy songs that I do, song parodies. But they're not always parodies. Sometimes it's just nice to like get the guitar out and sing along, and it's catharsis for sure. But it's been kind of fun to turn them into parodies, because then you can share the laughs with people at work. It kind of brings some camaraderie too.
We should have one of your songs as the outro to this bit.
Yeah.
Which one?
I mean, so many of them are good. I don't know. I feel like having a cardiac one. I like the Sweet Diuresis.
Okay. Yeah. Jesse, there's some songs we can send you. That's what we're talking about. That if you want to fit them into this somehow, you're welcome to.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I love those. How about you, Sebastian? What are some of your rituals that help keep you balanced?
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I do like to come in like the first shift of a stretch. I come in like 30, 40 minutes early and try and do a deep dive on everyone. I don't know if that's just like the new nurse thing.
I think that's what we're supposed to do.
I thankfully, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but, and maybe it's just a product of working night shift. I feel like my recollection of the patients I take care of is almost zero. Like I just kind of memory dump, I think, after the end of the stretch, and like trying to recall who I worked with last week is a true endeavor. And I think it's saved me from kind of dwelling on patients. I think maybe it like comes up in my like subconscious through my stress dreams about nursing, but the actual patients themselves, I don't hold on to, which I don't think there's really a ritual with that, but I think it's proven very helpful for my own.
I think it's healthy.
Sanity, yeah. Quick question. Do we have any more time?
We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. No. I'm going to ask Leah a final question. What are some qualities of your role models that you admire that isn't something we've talked about so far?
That's a great question. Well, we've talked a lot about empathy, just kind of just built into our jobs. Just transparency and authenticity. I think there's a lot of wisdom behind saying you don't know something. And I think it gives people, it shows people that they can be vulnerable around you and admit if they don't know something, which is super important, just from a safety standpoint, but also in accepting that we can't fix everything. We're not expected to know everything. And it built a lot of trust to say, dunno. Like, I really admire folks who can say that. Like, okay, cool. Well, let's find out together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Absolutely.
Same question to you, Sebastian.
I really admire the balance between kind of being okay with verbalizing how hard and potentially dark and bleak and nasty working in healthcare can be, just recognizing that, but not then falling into the pit and becoming cynical, but instead, I don't know, being able to, you know, with that backdrop, talk about all the potential and things that can be done. So I think people who are honest about what healthcare is like, but haven't become pessimistic about the field and are engaged, still show up, who've worked on the floor for 20 years, who want to work on the floor for 20 years. I think that that's, I really admire those qualities.
I like that meme that's out and around right now that shows like the healthcare workers on the floor, and it has the crew of the Pirates of the Caribbean. I like that vibe.
Yeah, totally.
Me too.
All right, I think we're all coasting now, Jesse, just into the end.
Leah's song comes on. I can hear it.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear this song. I'm really excited. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording.